time leading rusher for the Niners. Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson. Gets a shot. It's Ware.
Watch out. He's got getting away from the clock speed. Touchdown.
Welcome into episode 28 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and on Discord at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not checked out the South Harmon website, you need to go do that. We have some awesome tools on there. I'm going to be referencing some of them in this episode, as well as some other tools that are not on South Harmon, to give you an idea of the kinds of things that you can use in order to evaluate some of your teams. Before we get into it, I want to talk about our sponsor, Manscaped. If you go to manscaped.com and use the code SHFF20 at checkout, you can get 20% off of your order. Once again, that's the code SHFF20 to get 20% off of any Manscaped order. If you, the listener, are anything like me, you probably have some teams that are unexpectedly not doing so well. And I have a bit of a process that I go through for trying to determine, hey, is this team worth continuing on and trying to make it back into contention? Or is this a team that I just need to decide to blow it up? And I have one of these teams, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through that with you today so you can get an idea of my thought process, how I check my own thoughts and make sure that I'm not making a wrong decision. And ultimately, you're going to hear whether I decide to stick with this team or not. Some of you, the listeners, might be in this league with me. The league that I'm going to be looking at today is Shit Vacational. The reason I'm looking at this league was because before the season started, this league, I was projected to be the number one overall winner. I was projected to be the team that wins first place in the playoffs, most likely gets the highest payout, etc., with all my tools. Now, the problem is, here after week five, we play against the league median, I am 3-7. To make up those three wins, my team has beaten the league median twice and only won one matchup. And two of those, one league median win and one matchup win, came in week one, when I finished in third place overall in the league for that week. And every single week since then, I have been below the median. So I am already at a point where I have gone four straight weeks without beating my matchup opponent, and I've only beaten the league median once in that time. So that is not a very good spot that you want to be in. If you look at the last 4 weeks, my record is 1-7. So I really need to make a decision on what am I doing with this team. To evaluate this team, the first thing that I'm always going to do is just look at, okay, what do I have available for myself pick-wise? And this is one of those teams where luckily, even though I was projected to be first overall, I still have my entire complement of 2025 picks. I have my first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And so that means that if I do decide, hey, I want to blow it up, that is a totally okay thing to do. I'm not feeding somebody else a really early pick as a result of this. That is always something that I look to do, mainly because I either want to try and get my own first round pick back, or I need to make sure that anytime I'm selling my players for picks for other injured players, that I am recognizing that I am giving something to somebody else, and if I'm trying to get those early picks, I'm not going to be fighting against that other manager with my own pick, which just doesn't quite, it doesn't quite work out the way that you want it to. So that's the first thing that I always look at. So I have the flexibility to blow it up really easily if I want to. So now the next thing that I want to do is look at, okay, what is a realistic outcome for this team based on the players that I have? And why might I be in the situation that I am? Well, looking at my team, it's not that hard to tell why I'm in the situation I am. The running backs that I have only have really four running backs that are worth anything. They are Breece Hall, they are Joe Mixon, Rashad White, and Isaiah Pacheco. Obviously, out of those four, two of them have been hurt, and that is Isaiah Pacheco and that is Joe Mixon. Now, both of those running backs have not played since week two, and I have not gotten anybody to replace them. So that means that the guys that have been filling in has been Rashad White, who's been doing much worse than expected, and Emmanuel Wilson is the only other running back that is even on my roster that has been healthy, because I also have Jaylen Warren, who I expected to have a little bit of pop in here and there, but he's also been hurt. So I've had a horrible time in the running back room, and that is something that I can also project is still going to be a problem for a little while. We're expecting Isaiah Pacheco to be out until about week 10, which means I have another 5 weeks or so that I have without him. Joe Mixon, so far, he is not looking too great in terms of coming back week 6. He did have a limited return in Thursday's practice today, so maybe he's on the route towards coming back, but it's a good question as to whether they're going to just wait another week on him before fully returning him to the field. If that is the case, and he does come back, okay, I finally have a second good running back, but even then, it's still not a great position to be in to only have two good running backs on this team. Now, to get an objective evaluation of how is my team doing and what might I want to do with this squad, I also want to take a look at some other tools and see where they think my team is compared to my league mates. So the first one that I go to is the simulator. If you've not gone to this on southharmonff.com, I have a league simulator as part of the Warp Worshipper package, and you just go through, you plug in your league, and it will simulate out what it thinks the end of the season rankings will be. It will simulate playoffs and tell you based on if you can put in the monetary payouts for different positions, and it will give you an actual payout structure for, okay, this is on average how much money you make in this league. And if you pull up this league in the simulator, you will you see that I end up still coming in fourth place in terms of all play wins across the league. In terms of total wins, I end up coming in seventh place. Now, that is a little bit of a problem, because what happens in this league is the top teams by wins are the ones that make playoffs. So I need to get into a position of making playoffs to even get there have a chance at getting to the championship game. However, if you look at the season results tab, I end up finishing in fourth place overall in terms of total winnings. So what this is telling me is that my team, if it's healthy, is actually a really, really strong team. I just need to find a way to getting back into contention in order to get into the playoffs. So if I can turn this around, right now I am two games behind of the team in sixth place. I have also scored a total of 25 less total points forced than that team that's in sixth place. And I'm also jumping two other teams that have a lower total number of points forced than I do. So I need to make sure that I am winning these games, and more specifically, I need to start getting into winning against those league medians, and hopefully, if I'm doing that consistently, I will be winning some matchups. So, when I look at that total winnings number, that final number is 56.5. That is really important to me, that is 56.5, because the league dues for this league are $50. So I can already tell that it is expecting that when I make playoffs, I do quite well in actually making it to decently far. Despite being on average seventh in the regular season standings, places me in fourth place in terms of winning overall money. that means that the other teams that are going to potentially be making playoffs do not have the chance to make a deep playoff run like I do. So my team is uniquely positioned in that it has had a very bad start to this season, and that I need to take some action now in order to turn it around, but I am still in a really strong position. Now, of course, this is my simulator, and as much as I like my own tools, I like to get other perspectives as well. So I'm also pull up some other tools that are around the Dynasty space. The first one that I pull up is Dynasty Daddy. If you haven't used Dynasty Daddy before, you can absolutely go check that out. The guy that runs it, Jeremy, I met him at the Fantasy Football Expo, and he's an awesome guy, and he makes some really cool things. And if I pull up Dynasty Daddy, and I pull up this league, and I go to the contender view, I actually find that my team has the highest overall value in terms of contending. Now, my wide receiver contender rank is pretty bad. It is, in fact, a number of 9. But what's carrying me is that I have really, really strong depth. In this case, this league is a best ball league, and so that depth is absolutely valuable to me. It gives me a starter rank of 7th, and that is understandable because right now I have some injuries, especially to that running back position. I also have Michael Pittman at the wide receiver position. He was my wide receiver 1, and he is now potentially going to IR. So there's all these decisions that I need to make about my starters where things are not looking too great for them. And so that starter rank of 7th is pretty justified to me. However, because I have all this value in the players, and that to me means that I am positioned to be able to make a good run. And so what I need to do is figure out, okay, how do I exchange some of the assets on this team in order to bolster some of the holes I have? I'm about to have a hole at the wide receiver position with Michael Pittman. I still have the hole at running back position from Isaiah Pacheco and Joe Mixon, and so I need to do some stuff in order to get some wins now, and that is why Dynasty Daddy rates my team as frisky. That perfectly matches up with what my simulator is saying. My simulator says that my team might not make the playoffs. It's not looking too great in terms of, on average, I'm end up out of the playoffs. However, if I can make the playoffs, I can do really well. And so that's kind of what Dynasty Daddy is trying to tell me here as well. In addition to Dynasty Daddy, I checked one other site as well, and that's fantasyfootballranker.com. It's a simple site, and I love using it just to get a really quick overview and double check my own hypotheses. And in redraft rankings, it gives my team 3rd place in this league. So it's not just Dynasty Daddy that's telling me that my team is super strong. It's not just my simulator to boosting me up because my team is strong. Everywhere is saying my team is a very strong team, and I just need to find a way to get some wins in the win column. So now I have to look at the team itself and determine what am I actually going to do here. The thing that I don't want to do here is potentially give up these picks and have my team continue to get injuries and cause them to be super early. I understand that my team is still in a position where I might not make playoffs, and I'd like to have that 105 if possible. The reason for that is my team isn't that old of a team. If you look at my team, I have Lamar Jackson, Breece Hall, Joe Mixon. I could see all of them being good next year. My wide receivers are on the older side for sure, of Tyler Lockett, Amari Cooper, but I have Michael Pittman. He'll be just fine next year. Rashid Shaheed, he's young and will be back next year for sure. Cortland Sutton will be back next year for sure. And so you start looking at these guys and it's like, okay, I expect most of them to be back. I expected them, most of them to be decent. So, and I also have Christian Kirk. I almost passed over him. So I have a bunch of these receivers that they'll be around next year. They'll continue to be doing good things. And if I can bolster that room with that 105, then that is an awesome position to be in. And the reason that I don't need to get a quarterback is because my quarterback room, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton, Bo Nix. And that Andy Dalton's just kind of a bonus for this year, since I've managed to luck into him with how this season is going. So looking at those four quarterbacks, it's okay, I don't need to worry about the quarterback position. I have that on lockdown. In fact, I have a little bit of value there if I need it. If I feel a need to trade away a Bo Nix in order to try and get some points elsewhere on my team, I can do that. I just want to make sure that I'm getting another quarterback back, especially it being a best ball league and one of those quarterbacks being Andy Dalton, and I'm trying to make it so this team can roll in for next year as well. I don't want to trade Bo Nix and just get a receiver back, and then next year I'm rolling into the season with just Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott. That would be a rough position to be in. I always want to have at least three quarterbacks for the long term whenever it comes to a best ball league. So if I decide to trade away Bo Nix, if anybody in this league is listening, I'm going to be wanting another quarterback that I feel like has a good chance of starting next year back in that deal. Now, the tight end position for this coming week, it does not look too great, but that's mostly because Travis Kelce is on bye. We do start two tight ends in this league, and so what I've been mostly relying on is Travis Kelce being my tight end one, and then my tight end two being some combination of the Hayden Hurst, Tommy Tremble, Kylan Granson, and Johnny Munt and Durham Smythe combination of tight ends. I don't think there's a lot that I can do to really upgrade that tight end room without spending a bunch of value in a place that I don't really need it too much. When you have Travis Kelce, you just kind of want to lock him in as your tight end one, and then for your second tight end, you have that amalgamation of five or six guys, and you hope one of them falls into the end zone, or that they catch a couple passes that week. That's what you're going for, and if you have enough darts at the wall, that tends to be how I like to play the tight end position. So I'm already built for what I want to play, so I don't need to worry about that too much. And I kind of skipped over the end of the running back position. So that running back position, right now it is Breece Hall, it is Joe Mixon, Rashad White, Emmanuel Wilson, Isaiah Pacheco, Jaylen Warren. And with how many injuries I have on this team right now, I need to do something about getting a little bit of an upgrade. This league does have some unique scoring settings. We do have a points per carry. We get 0.25 points per carry. We also get half a point for rushing first down. So like, it is definitely valuable to have these running backs, and you can see that in the projections. Right now, Rashad White, he is projected to be right up there with Christian Kirk in total number of points, projected to score more than Courtland Sutton and Rashid Shaheed. So like, these running backs are extremely valuable. So what I'm going to be wanting to do is find a way to get some other running backs on my team, let the wide receivers kind of fill themselves out, hopefully kind of best ball that wide receiver position. So already this week, I am recording this right after the Thursday night game, so I already know that Tyler Lockett has scored 19 points for me. I have Amari Cooper, who hopefully at some point the Browns will get something put together and he'll have some consistent weeks. I have Christian Kirk, who, while he hasn't been doing that well, hopefully he can get put together and get involved in this offense. And I have Rashid Shaheed, who's been doing great. Michael Wilson, who can spike. Courtland Sutton, who can spike. I even have some crazy options like Kevontae Turpin, Lil Jordan Humphrey. Like, I have a wide receiver room built in order to navigate these waters of who knows what's going to happen at any point, and I only need to get three wide receivers into my lineup. So because I have all of these dart throws, I am totally fine with the wide receivers that I have. And then Michael Pittman is just somebody that I can now use to try and rotate myself into filling in some of these running back problems that I have. So Michael Pittman right now, he is listed as doubtful for this week. I think the thought is that he will probably go on the injured reserve. And so as a result, I can try and find somebody else in this league who is not in a position to compete. And that's going to be, there's three teams that are below me in the standings, and try to get some running backs off of them. Some good candidates of running backs that I can try and get are Devin Singletary. I can also try and get Najee Harris, Zach Moss. I could also look around for some other deals with some other teams that are not necessarily in the bottom part of the league, but might think that they belong there. I'm going to have to explore this league and see what some of those trade options are. The important thing is that I am able to go around and actually make these trades in this league. I know that this league, it being a South Harmon league, is going to be one where most of the managers are active, one where I'm going to be able to make these moves before Sunday. And the important thing is, I need to make the moves before Sunday, because if I take another 0-2 loss, that severely decreases my chance of making the playoffs. I need to go at least 1-1. Realistically, 2-0 is almost what I need to do, at least for the next couple of weeks, just to get myself caught back up to these other teams. That way, I'm in that contention for sixth place. So I'm aiming to try and get one running back. That's going to be the start of my turnaround for this team. And I'm going to also modify the end of my roster here a little bit. So what I had done at the beginning of the season here was I had picked up some backup quarterback options, and it turns out one of them hit. That one that hit was Andy Dalton, but I had also picked up Brandon Allen and Taylor Heinicke. Now, I don't need to roster those two guys anymore. At this point, I need to put more of that into, okay, I need to try and get some of these wide receiver and tight end options in order to fill spots into my lineup. I'd already started doing that. I'd already picked up guys like Justin Watson, guys like Odell Beckham. You heard me talk about earlier Johnny Munt and Durham Smythe, but I need to get some of these wide receivers that are not looking quite as good but could potentially spike. Same goes with some of these tight ends. I'm going to take a little bit more shots on tight ends in this league and hope that I can get some guys to hit my lineup and get me just a couple extra points. I've been close to hitting the median most weeks, and so if I can scrape out an extra 10 points, that might be enough to just move me over, and that's going to be really, really important for this team in terms of I need to start consistently beating the median in order to actually be a full contender. The other thing is, I need to be willing to recognize what my cutoff point is. Obviously, if I go 0-2 this next week, that is not looking good enough for me making the playoffs, and I need to kind of bail out on this season. And I bet you my simulator is going to tell me, hey, my chance of winning money back in this league goes down a lot. And if I see that number go below the $50 buy-in, I need to bail out of this league. However, for right now, I don't need to do that. I am still over that $50 buy-in, and so obviously it is worth it for me to keep trying to compete. I just don't want to do too much and cause this team to end up in one of those situations where, hey, I spent my first, I took all of my youth, turned it into players that are just win-now pieces, and then I'm still losing, I'm still getting hit with injuries, things like that. So that's my overall analysis of this league. That's kind of how I go through a league, figure out, okay, am I going to be competing or am I not? This could have gone totally differently. If I had gone to my simulator and it said, hey, on average, I'm not making the playoffs enough for it to be worth it, or maybe my team wasn't good enough that if I get the players to come back, if my team is looking good, that I'm able to make playoffs, that I'm able to compete for some of the overall win positions in this league, that I would be saying, you know what, I'm going to hang it up. I'm 3-7. I'm overall ninth in the league right now. I don't need to try and compete for a playoff spot. But right now, I absolutely can compete for a playoff spot, and so that's what I'm going to try and do, especially because of how not only this simulator, I have two other websites that are also telling me that I am a top three team when it all comes down to the end of the year. That is the kind of thing that I want to be a part of. I want to have one of those top teams, because in most of your leagues, the payouts are weighted towards the top teams in your league. So that's where I want to be. I want to be involved in those kinds of matchups. if you have a team that you are struggling to figure out, hey, what do I want to do with this team? Make sure to go to southharmonff.com, check out the simulator that I have. It will give you a pretty objective view. If it tells you, hey, this team is not going to do very well the rest of the year, you need to take a step back and evaluate if you thought, hey, I thought this team was going to be really good and that the record was just low because of some unlucky breaks. These kinds of tools can really help you out in terms of evaluating without the emotion, because obviously this team, I'm like, hey, I really like this team. I think it is good. There's a reason that it went into the season, it ranked number one overall, and that it's still ranked number one overall on Dynasty Daddy right now. Like, this team is a good team for the format, and I just need to make some adjustments in order to bring it to its full potential. Now, to finish off the week with two segments that I've been doing every single week. The first one, looking at the number of players rostered in teams each week. Last week, we had 60 quarterbacks rostered, 100 running backs rostered, 137 wide receivers rostered, and 55 tight ends. This week, that number increases by one for the quarterbacks to 61, increases by one for the running backs to 101, increases by one for the wide receivers for 138, and goes down by one at the tight ends to 54. So what we see is that as bye weeks are coming, people are able to roster. They're focusing more on these quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. The tight ends, we kind of are capped out. We don't need more tight ends than 55. And so that number is starting to come back down a little bit to make some space for these running backs and wide receivers that are stacking up with a combination of injuries and bye weeks that's making things rough for our teams. So we're needing to focus in there. And the quarterback situation mostly just has to do with, look at, we got another quarterback injured this past week, and it was Derek Carr. And not only was he injured, but his backup, which is Jake Haener, is not being named the starter and instead being Spencer Rattler. So, of course, people are picking up both backup quarterbacks a bunch because some people know the news, some people don't. Some people are just going, oh, Spencer Rattler won't do that well, so Jake Haener will still be the one that I want, things like that. So that's the reason that the quarterback position has gone up, is mostly from that situation. The last segment for this week is tight ends don't matter. Now, tight ends don't matter has been rough this season, and last week it got worse than you could ever expect. I chose Tommy Tremble, and he got one catch for 7 yards, which on its own is like, okay, that's better than a goose egg. But then he lost a fumble because when he made that catch, he got essentially smacked right into in the head, and he got concussed and he lost the ball in that. And so as a result, he got the -2 points for losing a fumble. And so he ended the week at -0.3 points. That is not fun. That is not the place that we want to be in, and best health to him. But unfortunately for us, we got negative points, which is worse than a goose egg. So now we have to look into, okay, who do we want it for this coming week? And the waiver wire pod this week gave us 4 options. We have Jeremy Ruckert, Charlie Kohler, Mo Alie-Cox, and Nate Atkins. Now, all 4 of these guys are more speculative picks. There were not any that were from the idea of, oh, hey, we've got injuries, this guy might take a step up that we've had in previous weeks. But I am tacking on 2 other options this week because I think that they are going to be good choices for us. The first one is Ian Thomas. If he returns from the injured reserve this week, he can slot right into that role Tommy Tremble has had, assuming Jatavion Sanders doesn't take it over. If Ian Thomas misses, Jatavion Sanders is a good candidate to fill that role, and I think that if Jatavion Sanders has an entire week all by himself, he will probably solidify that role over Ian Thomas. The other option is Ben Sims. Luke Musgrave got hurt this past week, and as of the recording of this podcast, Tucker Kraft had a full practice on Wednesday and then a limited practice on Thursday due to a groin injury. Now, those midweek injuries, you never know what they're going to be. They pop up and either it's, oh, hey, they just needed a limited practice that day, and maybe they'll have a limited the following day, and then they'll be totally fine for the game this weekend. Or it could be something more serious. If it is more serious, Ben Sims steps into the number one tight end spot here in Green Bay. And Ben Sims, he wasn't like a world beater at tight end, but he did finish his career as Baylor's all-time record holder for career tight end, touchdowns by a tight end. He was second in receptions by a tight end and fourth in receiving yards by a tight end for the history of the Baylor college football program. So he is somebody that can come in. He can get receptions, and he could fit in for the Green Bay Packers for a week where both Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave are not able to play. So that kind of goes into, okay, who am I going to choose for this coming week at the tight end position? My initial player that I want to go with is Ben Sims, assuming Tucker Kraft is hurt and out for the week. If Tucker Kraft comes back, he has a full practice Friday, he plays on Sunday, then I am not going to choose Ben Sims because we've looked at Luke Musgrave for a few weeks. He has not really done much, so I'm going to take a different option. That different option, if available, would then be Ian Thomas. If Ian Thomas plays, I want to play him. If Ian Thomas does not play, out of the four tight ends talked about in the waiver wire pod this week, I'm going to take the gamble on Nate Adkins. His snap share has consistently gone up week after week, and while he's only had one target per game since week two, he's also had three pretty poor tight end matchups against Tampa Bay, the New York Jets, and the Las Vegas Raiders, and he starts a string of really good tight end matchups starting this week against the LA Chargers. So I'm going to go with Nate Adkins and hope that he runs into a good matchup. He's on the field just enough, and Bo Nix is able to throw it down the field to him. Now, that obviously I've mentioned he is my third choice behind Ben Sims and Ian Thomas. So while I don't have a straight up singular choice necessarily for this week, I will let you know next week who it ended up that I went with based on how these injuries turned out. As always, that is everything here this week. If you have any questions, feel free to come and reach out to me on Twitter at Dynasty Koopa, Discord at Koopa Troopa 8, and just in general, if you have questions about how the tools work, if you have questions about, I've just got a team that I'm struggling to figure out whether I should go for it in this league or not, please feel free to ask me, talk to me. I love having those conversations and getting into the theory of what should you be doing from a macro level with each of your squads. As always, go out there and stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.